Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom. And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you not live. And we are coming to you from Tobacco on Main Street, here in downtown Westminster, Maryland, right here on Main Street in historic Westminster, is Tom's Tobacco on Main Street.
Yeah.
And we have got something kind of cool. This is not something that just came out.
Mm-mm.
This is the Drew Estate Brothers of the Leaf Lancero 2018. Very well aged, and an example of some of the aged selection that you can get here at Tobacco on Main Street. And we thought this would be a treat. So we got a lot of stuff going on here. Number one, this is was a quality cigar when it came out. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about Brothers of the Leaf and availability and stuff like that. High quality when it was released, and now it has got 6 years of age on it.
Oh, yeah.
Almost 7 years of age on top of the production. Looks gorgeous, and it is a Lancero. Mm-hmm. So we're hitting all of the stuff on this show. But to enjoy this Drew Estate Brothers of the Leaf Lancero, we have to cut and light it, of course. And we will start with the official cutting, brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors.
The official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. Featuring proprietary blends available nowhere else, Lord Baltimore Distributors are meticulously crafted boutique cigars made in small batches for every palate. Lord Baltimore Distributors, when only the best will do.
And as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority. No limp-wristed cutting allowed. And then we're going to tap this out on the back of the hand. Just the part that's going in your mouth, just go ahead and tap it gently. Getting all that little scraping flecks of tobacco out. Unless you like getting that on your tongue and teeth and lips and everything, then don't bother.
Dude, you got to smell it. It smells leathery.
It does smell good. Mm-hmm. Smells like leather dipped in manure.
Yeah.
That is a perfect fermented cigar
smell. Dude, I love the look, because it's like rustic, but like oily and matte. It's like three different...
You know what this looks like? This looks like what Mark Twain would smoke while hanging over the rail of a riverboat on the Mississippi after having just won a bunch of gambling.
Yeah.
That's what this looks like.
Or lost. He'll smoke regardless.
No, it's got the air of a winner about it.
Yeah.
All right, you want to do a cold draw?
Nah.
Cold draw?
Yeah. It's got a nice... Ooh, that's chocolatey.
Hmm. Interesting. Very nice.
Espresso?
Yeah, a little bit. And pepper. You taste the pepper on there? All right, let's go ahead and get these lit. The official lighting brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee.
The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. Featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world, 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us.
And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. Treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves, and it will return the flavor.
It's really good.
A couple of long, slow draws to get that tobacco to smolder without...
Yeah, it's going to be a little tough.
Charring it.
I'm not a Lancero smoker.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last Lancero was the Go Fuck Yourself.
Which wasn't a true Lancero.
No.
Because it was a little bit bigger ring gauge, but whatever. All right, yes. I like Lanceros. I don't like them outside because they don't stay lit. You got to pay a little bit of attention to them, but They're very flavorful.
I was going to say, this is perfect for you, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? The Golden Hand of Destiny is not actually in the camera. Let me just... There we go.
By the way, this is spicy as shit through the nostrils.
Yeah, so... I want to take a few... Let it burn down a little bit. In case I got some char in there. And then do some tasting notes. So off the bat, I'd give it a strength of 7.
Mm-hmm. 7-8, man. Holy fuck. This thing came out punching.
Hmm. This is really interesting because there's an element of chocolate and an element of pepper.
Mm-hmm.
No cinnamon, but it kind of reminds me of Mexican chocolate.
Yeah. Retro?
Yes.
Dude, it is. Hold it a little bit in your mouth and then retro. Give it like 5 seconds. It just gets spicier.
Yeah, if you let this sit in the back of your nostrils, it is going to make your eyes water. It's pretty spicy.
Dude, that's crazy.
If you just retro, like if you avoid that soft part of the palate and just through the nose,
you don't
it's
taste
okay.
It.
But if you, yes, this can get spicy fast, I think.
This is.
But it's interesting because it's not like a... I'm having trouble sort of describing the spiciness. It's a little on the sweet side. It is definitely not... It's not cayenne. It's not that bitter pepper. But it's not really black pepper either. It reminds me of Szechuan chicken.
It's this red pepper. You probably had it. It's sweet, but it's kind of spicy. Chile guajillo. It's that red, dry...
Yes, okay, yeah. Yeah, it does remind me of that. But, man, the chocolate is really pronounced on this. Like, in the top back of your palate, if you let cool air go through there, it has a really pronounced,
you know,
almost dark chocolate flavor.
Reminds me of right now? I'm sitting downtown in the center of where my parents are from. My grandparents currently live. This is what it reminds me of. Like, I'm sitting in Mexico right now. It's
yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. I can see that. I mean, I can't really empathize with it because I've never even been there. But I know what you're saying. You know how a lot of flavors and aromas connect you with a place.
Yeah, dude. It's like, that's where I'm at right now. This reminds me of, like, a real, real Mexican restaurant. Not, like, some bullshit taco joint.
I'll tell you what, though. This is like a rich, chewy flavor and smoke where this almost feels like a meat, which is, you know, you don't necessarily associate that with the Lancero. God, I can't imagine what this would be like in a bigger ring gauge. It'd knock my fucking brains out.
Holy fuck. I'm getting some meat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Okay, this reminds me of my dad making that chile that I just said. I don't know if you've ever tasted this stone. It's a volcanic stone.
Did you cook on?
No, that you can... It's called the molcajete.
Yeah?
It's that bowl stone where you mix stuff in. Like, I'm getting that whole flavor profile.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like a mortar and pestle kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. So this, strange.
This kind of tastes like... If you, like a... yeah, a South American Chile-based flank steak over... A grill, a wood fire grill, like old fashioned. Not propane.
Dude, this is so. This is like the coolest smoke I think we've had in a while.
It's absolutely delicious, and there is so. This is packed with flavors. I think we can keep unpacking this.
Yeah.
So we are at Tobacco on Main Street, your most recent lounge and tobacconist. In Westminster, Maryland, and there is a selection of hard-to-get cigars here, so there's the regular stock on the shelves, and, you know, we'll throw a video together and show folks, but there's also a aged selection cabinet with a limited purchase, a purchase limit per customer, and this is one of those offerings, the Brothers of the Leaf 2018 Lancero, and... you know, the extra age, I think, is really doing it a lot of favors.
Dude, yeah. It's fucking great. I don't know if this is what it tastes like when it first came out, but if you let it age those 6 years, that's what the hell you're getting right now.
Yes, this is really phenomenal, and it does. It tastes like a full course meat-based meal with dessert. I'm waiting for, like, a hint of bourbon or something to slip in there, you know? Like, where's the drink with the meal?
You know what I'm scared of right now? That the nicotine is going to sneak up on us and just punch us and knock us the hell out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has a deep, rich... But, I mean, there's chocolate on the, like, aftertaste on every puff.
So right off the bat, complex.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we'll see if it changes, but there's a ton of flavors in here. Speaking of drinks slipping in, Mexican Coke.
Yeah, I just finished mine, so I'm a little... Well, it's sitting over there, but no biggie.
It definitely hits different. Mm-hmm. Also, the glass bottle. I fucking hate plastic. You know I can smell and taste plastic.
Oh, yeah. Same thing with, like, the aluminum.
Yeah, the aluminum's bad. Cola actually creates, like, a slight electrical charge in the metal when you're drinking it, which you can also taste. That sort of coppery metallic taste. All right, so, again, Drew Estate, Brothers of the Leaf Lancero 2018. Mm-hmm. And so far, delicious smoke. Let's go ahead and do our socials and surprises. And... I guess, first of all, shout out to Yakub Abdullah and also Jeff Mather for subscribing on YouTube. Thanks for joining us on Burnline Podcast. You know, what we do here is a consumer's show, and we really hope that we are adding value to the cigar industry. I'm Johnny Midas, cigar aficionado, and this is El Fumo, our resident certified retail tobacconist.
Nobody cares.
And, you know, what we've got going on is a show where we smoke cigars with you and tell you what we think. Also bring you some stuff about the cigar industry. We'll talk a little bit about Drew Estate today. Yeah. If you think we bring value, please like, share, subscribe, comment, give us a nice 5-star review, all of that stuff. Yeah. You are our marketing plan, and I'm not, you know, being overly dramatic. The only way to beat the shadow ban algo on our delicious, awesome hobby is to interact. And I know a lot of you guys are shadow scrollers, and we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, and of course, YouTube and Spotify is where you can find our videos, and audio pretty much anywhere else. Don't scroll past.
So basically, you're shadow operators if you're watching us.
Yes. don't scroll past. Please give us a 5-star review and a comment. And then, of course, if you look at the description of this show, wherever you're watching or listening to it, there is a link to our link tree, including a little button that says contact us. And that is connected to burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Please drop us a line. We love hearing from you guys. We really want to make this your show, and we can't do that unless you tell us what do you like, dislike, what do you want us to smoke, drink, etc., etc. And of course, we will be happy to give you a shout out if that's what you want. And you know, we will read your email on the show if it's worth reading. If you don't want us to read it, then let us know. Preferably in the start of the email. Yeah. that's bad for editing.
Yeah. So some of the value that we that we kind of add to is I have experience working on the retail side in the industry. So there's like little tidbits of information that as a consumer you may not find or not know right off the bat because nobody's feeding you that info. Normally you're just looking up individual cigar info, not the industry stuff. And as far as industry stuff goes, the majority of that content is, this is where it's grown. This is, you don't get to see this background side
yes,
of it.
Yeah.
I've already done a couple, there's a couple episodes. There's one episode where I showed you the tobacconist box where they teach us all the blends. And, you know, that's not something available to the public. And we're like,
right.
Hey.
Right. And that's what we do on Burnline. So, there you go. Why don't we go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we will do our tobacconist tip of the week.
Botanist Tip of the Week with Angel Solorio.
All right, so Tobacconist Tip of the Week. So, since we're talking about aging, one thing you could do is, if you like a certain stick, buy two of it, smoke one, and just sit the other one in the back, you know, in the humidor, and let it age. Forget about it for a little while, and then when you go to the humidor, you're like, oh shit, I got this one. And then you'll get this kind of experience. Like, you know, there's a difference between smoking a cigar right off the bat and then smoking a cigar, maybe visiting it, what, a month or two later, maybe a whole ass year. I have a pack of cigars yet that are probably aged 12 years right now, and I smoke one maybe once a year, and I'm almost out. I have like six left, so I have 6 years to smoke them. But, you know, that's something you can do, and there is a huge difference, so, and you can do yourself that favor, because you're like, I'm not going to buy one stick and then let it age. I'm like, eh, I'm too impulsive. I'll smoke it. So two is a good way to do it, or three, you know.
Yeah, and if you're thinking long term, you can slice this however you want, right? So I like that tip. Just buy two and put one away.
Yeah.
You can buy three. One you're going to age a few months, one you're going to age years, mm-hmm. right? I would say if you have a stick you really like, buy a box and save it.
Yeah.
Because it might be gone in 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, they might not make it anymore.
Yeah, what, last episode I mentioned like eight cigars that are now mm-hmm. gone.
Oh, sure. And that doesn't even mention like, you know, the pre-purchase Camachos, mm-hmm. you know, before Davidoff changed them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can't get those anymore. You have mergers and acquisitions. Mm-hmm. But you also just have, you know, I'm waiting for Fuente to drop the 858. That's a loss leader. Apparently, they don't make money on that cigar, mm-hmm. right? They just produce it out of love, you know. I know that I got one of those five packs that you get hanging on the clip, okay. like Alec Bradley's.
Yes.
And I smoked one, the Presnado, and it was okay. You know, it was all right. And so I put the rest in my humidor and forgot about them because every time I looked at them, I was like, nah, I'm not in the mood. You know, I'm not in the mood for an okay cigar. And it was about 5 months later, I picked out the Magic Toast. And I smoked it, and it was fucking amazing.
Really?
And it was so good, I was like, it's an Alec Bradley. You know, it's the Magic Toast. Like, this isn't supposed to be good. Yeah. This good. So I just bought one off the shelf. This was the other place up north. And I smoked it, and it was totally different. Yeah. Not even the same. But it's an example of a cigar, you know, there's a, I guess there's a process for bringing cigars to market, and you have to bring them out fairly regularly, mm-hmm. right? And for this particular stick, you know, there's this lead time, and just letting it age and off gas and stuff that extra mm-hmm. 5 months changed the cigar and made it much yeah. better, right? So I like that.
Especially with, like, we smoked a couple of limiteds that weren't good off the bat
mm-hmm.
because of lead time.
Mm-hmm.
For example, not shitting on them, but the Fratello. I don't think it was ready yes. when we smoked it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, the Fratello that we smoked, it just wasn't ready
yet. Yeah, the Lunar. The Fratello Lunar.
Yeah, I think that, actually both of them, you know, both the Fratellos we smoked.
Oh, what was the other one?
I don't know, it also had a gimmicky packaging. But in both those cases, like, I could taste the ammonia and stuff
mm-hmm.
burning off, and that's a good candidate. You know, Fratellos are fairly inexpensive, too. You could put some of those in your humidor for a while and forget about them.
Yeah.
All right, so I think some of you guys have probably heard of this, Brothers of the Leaf.
Mm-hmm.
This is a product from Drew Estate,
mm-hmm.
and it is not generally available.
Mm-hmm.
This is limited. So why don't you tell us from the retail side a little bit about that program and how it works, and we'll go from there.
Okay, so on the retail side, this is accounts that cannot be purchased by an individual such as you or myself. Right. So you have to be a retailer, big purchaser, blah, blah, blah. So this kind of works like a rewards program at almost any store, but on the retailer side. So Drew has your regular retailer, and then after a certain cap and you go certain past amount of purchases, you get the Drew Diplomat.
So, if I'm a retailer, I have to purchase a certain amount a Drew Estate product to resell,
mm-hmm.
at which point I gain diplomat status.
Yes.
Now, do they confer that? Do I have to apply for it?
I'm not sure on that side, but I think they kind of approach you, and then you can ask for it. But it gives you more perks as a store. It gets, I believe, it makes it a little bit cheaper to buy some stuff. And some companies, they do like a percentage split, I think like 2 or 3%. I don't know what that is because I wasn't involved in that part. And then like the Barn Smoker, the Drew Estate Live, you get those Drew Estate Live kits.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I believe it's only available for the Drew Estate Diplomat at a store to sell, not regular customer. But you can obviously purchase it online for yourself.
From Drew.
Right.
Yeah, we're friends with our retailers, but we're also, we're friendlies. Yeah, and so one of the things that a diplomat status retailer gets access to is Brothers of the Leaf.
Yeah.
Is Drew still producing Brothers of the Leaf product?
I'm not sure, honestly.
I haven't seen any in a while. I think 2022 was the last time I saw one.
And like I said, they need to have diplomat status to sell it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the that whole program allows them to use and access tobaccos they might not otherwise, because it's just they don't have enough for like a production run.
Yeah. For example, like the Arturo Fuente, like what was that cigar we smoked that's only available at the casino? They only sent it to
the Casa Fuente.
Yeah, the Casa Fuente. They only sent it to the retailers of a certain I don't know their status levels.
Mm-hmm.
I never got to deal with them on that. Padron has the same thing. DBO had it exclusively with one place, but you know what happened there?
Had.
And, you know, all the other, I'm sure the other manufacturers do the same thing. But things might have changed because of, like we said, fuck, in the past 3 years, how many acquisitions and mergers and shit happened.
Right.
So I don't know if those statuses have changed. So, but for certain, Drew Diplomat is still a thing.
So we talk often on this show about collecting, because I think I collect more than you do, but you mm-hmm. collect some as well.
Yeah.
And that's fairly normal for cigar smokers.
Yeah.
Right. I know that online and among some contacts I have, like, collecting Brothers of the Leaf stuff is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's weird because I think Drew Estate has one of the best marketing machines
mm-hmm.
in cigars.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
And I think it's incommensurate with the quality of the product they're producing.
Right.
Which I'm not shitting on anybody or calling anybody out. I'm just saying, like, the, I don't know, M81,
mm-hmm.
right? Metallica. I mean, you got fucking Metallica. You got a bourbon that goes along with it, finished in blackcurrant sherry casks or something, mm-hmm. you know, something fancy. And they just fucking sold that stick. And then we smoked it and we're like, you know, like, triple Maduro is not a great idea. It's actually not a great cigar.
Right.
It was a lot better with whiskey, you know.
Yeah.
But by itself, it's kind of one note, heavy cardboard.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think that's another one of those cigars where you can't smoke right off the box, right out of the box. I think that was another issue as well.
I would agree with that. It tasted like it wasn't
ready.
Old enough yet. Yeah. It just wasn't ready. Yeah. But where I was going with that is Drew Estate has a lot of fans.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they produce the number one selling cigar in America, which is the Acid. And they have a ton of swag and a ton of marketing. And there's a lot of people that collect Drew stuff.
Yeah, dude, it's so cool.
They make the Pappy Van Winkles,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, if you're wondering where that charred taste comes from on the tip of the wrapper, that is Kentucky Fire Cured tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
So it tastes that way. But Brothers of the Leaf, they had, like, signs, ashtrays, some stuff like that that, you know, wasn't available for the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And those things get stolen.
Yeah.
I mean, people swipe that shit,
yeah.
you know, right out of the lounge, not condoning the behavior.
So the other equivalent to the same marketing level that they have, but in marketing only, we talk about them a lot, we shit on them a lot, is Gurkha. That's another collectible, but honestly, that's the only thing good about Gurkha, is their swag.
Well, they used to have a ton of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they had programs, but I don't know if, do they still do the military programs and stuff?
I have no idea.
It's odd, though, because the other week we talked about the 10 most expensive cigar purchases in history. And of course, number two, spoiler alert, if you're not watching these in order, was 600-year-old Mayan cigars mm-hmm. that some archaeologists dug up and auctioned off for $500,000 or whatever. Yeah, I mean, if I had the money, dude, you know that would be in Johnny Midas's humidor, right? Yeah. I would smoke one. I'd buy six, and I'd be like, these five are now worth more because I just smoked one.
Right.
Just to say I fucking did.
I think we need to get those 150-year-old Cubans, though.
Yeah. Well, we can.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do with them? They're trash.
Yeah, just smoke them. Fuck it.
I mean, yeah? Just to say you did?
Yeah.
Sounds like something I'd do.
Yeah.
But, you know, two of the purchases on the list were fucking Gurkhas. And it's like, and then you read the what it's made out of, and you're like,
I don't care.
You're like, that's on the shelf in there for $10. Mm-hmm. Like, that same, like, Ecuadorian Habano, give me a break. You know? Like, well, that's a great wrapper, but it's on every cigar in there.
Yeah. All they did was literally sprinkle
diamonds on it. Swarovski crystals and
yeah.
shit.
I was going to say, yeah.
Although, I have to admit that King of Denmark, that was kind of something I'd buy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got my name on the band and 24 karat gold. I mean, that's Johnny Midas territory. So, Drew Estate has a fairly integrated and awesome marketing program for both the retailer, which is the diplomat status and stuff you're talking mm-hmm. about, and access to more stuff, and also for the consumer.
Yeah.
As well. So, give them props.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're one of the most consumer-friendly, what do you even want to call them, like manufacturers? Well, they're not really a manufacturer, but...
Cigar companies.
Cigar company.
You know, we go back and forth on the show all the time because it's kind of like any other industry. Like, does Chevrolet make cars? Yeah. Well, they assemble cars,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right, that's true. They're not makers anymore.
And if they assemble a Silverado in Mexico, is it the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's similar, like... You can have a company with a headquarters in the U.S., but the factory is in another country,
mm-hmm.
and all of the leaves are sourced from other countries. You know, so it's just modern supply chain type of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of consumers think all cigar companies are like, you know, Padron, where mm-hmm. it's like really vertically integrated,
yeah.
or Perdomo, 100% for, you know, they make the boxes and everything.
Yeah.
Or Fuente.
It's just not true.
They grow a lot of their yeah. stuff, but not all of it. You know, I mean, can't grow a Cameroon wrapper in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
You can grow it in Ecuador, though. So what happens if you take seed from Sumatra and you plant it in Cameroon, and then you take seeds from there and plant it in Ecuador?
Yeah. Oh, you're asking?
What happens?
Just changes a little bit, the dirt?
Well, it changes. Yeah, sudden soil, it changes, but... It's funny because I don't like Sumatra seed. I don't like Indonesian from Indonesia.
It's Ecuadorian, Sumatra, Cameroon.
Yeah. But you take that tobacco and, like, the Dutch planted it everywhere.
Yeah.
And some of your best tobaccos actually originated in Indonesia.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
bloody Dutch.
The bloody Dutch. Inside joke, guys. So, we are smoking the Drew Estate Brothers of the Leaf Lancero from 2018, part of the aged selection you can get here at Tobacco on Main Street, and I think it's time for some more tasting notes.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that we mentioned right off the bat was the chocolate and the meat,
mm-hmm.
And of course, the spice.
Yeah.
So, where are we at now?
All right. Dude, the chocolate's like the heaviest thing.
There's still a ton of chocolate on here.
It's still a little bit after spice.
It doesn't matter if you do a regular puff or a retro.
The chocolate's
afterwards,
heavy.
There's chocolate and pepper.
Get a little bit of maybe cedar.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little different in there.
Yeah, there's a cedar wood component that has come in. And then, all right, so I'm gonna take you through a journey.
Okay. Right.
Take a loaf of Italian bread.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it in half. Okay. Take that half a loaf. I mean, cut it in half lengthwise, so it's mm-hmm. open face. Just take that half, put it under the broiler so it's toasted.
Okay.
Toasted white Italian bread. And then what you're going to do is you're going to take ground beef and you're going to mash it together, right, with your fingers, not all crumbly out of the packet, but really finely process the meat like that. And you're going to mix red chilies in there. And then you spread that over the Italian bread and put it in your oven under the broiler. And then right when it's just about ready, you sprinkle mozzarella cheese on it. So it's a little sweet, a little cheesy flavor, but it's not, you know, umami, like Swiss cheese or something, right? Let it cool down so you don't burn the roof of your mouth. Then you take a bite of that and then a drink of chocolate milk. That's what it tastes like right now.
That's weird. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, smell the second hand, by the way. No, like after you puff it out.
Smelling yours.
Smells really good.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it has a really sweet fermented smell to it. That's really interesting.
Yeah, so you're not going to offend anybody walking down the street smoking this.
I don't know, but it is a strong aroma. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of it. But yes, it has a really interesting secondhand.
Dude, this is a badass stick.
The only thing that I'll say about this cigar that's interesting is, like, if you take a regular draw, you almost get more smoke than you can enjoy. Mm-hmm. You almost have to sip it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Like, if this was a Toro and you just took your regular mouthful of smoke, this would wreck you.
Dude, this is a lot of smoke. This is a smoky cigar. By the way, I'm getting a little bit of a, not barnyard, but ranch. There's a difference, by the way, if you're a farmer. I'm getting a little ranchy smell off of it.
There is, yeah. Yep, I can see that too. Delightfully complex. And like I said, I mean, like, there's a reason that I described it that way. This is almost like eating a meal. Like, it's so full and rich. But there's dessert with every bite, too.
Yeah. Are you starting to feel the nicotine a little bit?
Maybe.
I'm a little further down, but...
Yeah, I have a, you know, fairly high tolerance, but it is a strong cigar, so... I think at this point, and I'm in the second, third, I would go with a solid 8 for strength. Mm-hmm. It is fairly strong. And then for flavor, we talk about simple, mid, and complex. It's complex. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for that stick that is hard to find, you're really going to enjoy it, and you know, you're a sophisticated cigar smoker, probably this is not great for a beginner. Man, you gotta hunt this down.
Yeah.
By the way, I know where you can find one.
Yeah. I know a guy.
Right here at Tobacco on Main Street, which is on Main Street.
In case you didn't know.
In historic Westminster, Maryland. And, you know, we're looking over here and we got these big windows with a view to the park and the historic brick homes. Really gorgeous. So head on down and check out the lounge. We'll do a video of the cigar selection later. A
little tour, yeah.
Yeah, a little tour of it. Appreciate Tom having us to record today. So, Drew Estate is really interesting because pretty big fan base, lots of swag, and they have a lot of approachable cigars. So for folks that, you know, are getting into cigars, they have everything, you know, and... So, Fat Bottom Betty, what is it, Sweet Jane? Mm-hmm. So they really have the corner on the infused market, of course.
Yeah,
the
they really do. Yeah.
The only thing with Drew Estate though is, if you want like sophisticated cigars, now you're jumping into the Liga Privada line, right? So, Liga is another. You know, famous, like they got fans all over, they're looking for that feral pig or whatever, you know, they can be hard to find. Personally, not a huge fan of Liga.
Yeah.
You know, they have some stuff. A lot of them are a little too strong for me. You know, I really like that light floral aromatic, you know, I want a lot of flavor, not a lot of punch in the back of the head.
Yeah.
But that is their... brand line for hard to get, not cheap, strong, you know, kind of sophisticated smoker
stuff.
Now, I'll give a caveat. The Papas Fritas are a pretty good deal. So if you want a strong stick that's like
five, six bucks,
it's just big enough.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of? The Blackworks Studios, what is it, the Bumblebee?
Oh, yeah.
The bee. Like, it's, it'll sting you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the right size. If it was bigger than that, it's about this big.
Yeah. You know?
But the Papas Fritas, the way they keep the cost down is it's a Cuban sandwich. Mm-hmm. And so all of the leavings from making the rest of the Ligas, they turn into the Papas Fritas. So waste not, want not. Everybody benefits. Again, just a cool structural thing from Drew where they're saving money. They're not throwing stuff away. Mm-hmm. You're saving money. You're getting a Liga for $5, $6 now. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty good smoke. So just an example of, you know, if you've got your head in your business, you can make money, man.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and it's one of those companies as a retailer to partner with and be on their good side, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a fairly decent reputation. Yeah. You know, we get into a lot of back stuff in this show. One thing that we definitely try to avoid is airing dirty laundry, mm-hmm. shitting on people. Like, every cigar is a passion project for somebody. Mm-hmm. And we'll smoke some pretty crappy ones, and we'll just say, hey, this was our experience.
Yeah.
You know, hope yours was different, because we serve the consumer, mm-hmm. right? Not the producer. But we know there's some companies that don't have great reputations for working with folks. And as we've seen the M&A, you know, thing expand over the last 10 years, it's gotten worse, mm-hmm. right? So it kind of doesn't matter at this point what your relationship was with Alec Bradley, because it's not Alec Bradley anymore.
Yeah.
Yep, this definitely makes me want to gamble on a riverboat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I need a hat.
Kind of like yours. I need a hat.
Yeah. I need a riverboat gambler hat.
You need, like, that hat right there.
I need that hat, yeah. Yes, I need a gambler crown fedora.
I don't know what that's called. Is that a fedora?
That's a fedora, yeah. Oh, speaking of fedoras and people dressing weird, did you see Kraven? Came out on Netflix?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Huh.
You know, that's a really out there Marvel character. I guess Netflix got it because it's not part of the MCU. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's about this, like, kid whose dad is a Russian mob boss, and he has some magic spell happen in Africa where he merges with a lion or something. yeah, typical Marvel shit. But, his dad is played by Russell Crowe.
Oh, nice.
Old Russell Crowe. I mean, like, Russell Crowe nowadays.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he looks a little different from his Gladiator days. But
now I'm consuming a lot of Westerns right now. Not on purpose. It's just that's what it is right now.
It's kind of a meme in culture. You know, it's coming back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? Thanks to Taylor Sheridan and...
I was going to say, Westerns were huge when you were growing up.
Yeah, they were pretty big.
And then it kind of went away. And then Tombstone kind of spiked
it. Tombstone had a little
and
splash.
And then it went away, and now it's back.
Yeah. Well, it's just the archetype of, you know, families. Because the modern Westerns, they're not just men. Mm-hmm. Right? They're all families. But, you know, it's the archetype of a family that looks out for itself and mm-hmm. its own and stands on its own 2 feet. And, you know, the thing with wilderness living is, you know, when you're out there in the wilderness, you realize how fucking unforgiving our planet actually is.
Yeah.
You know, that whole nature is red and tooth and claw thing is fucking real. You know, like, that bear doesn't care. It'll eat you for fun.
But they're cute.
Yeah, they're fucking cute when they're eating you ass first. They don't even kill you first. They just start eating you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, basic shit, like, you have died of dysentery. You know, yeah. Oregon Trail shit. You mean I gotta boil my fucking water? Yeah, it takes work to survive.
Yeah, like shit that we just kind of brush off today. Take that would kill you.
Yeah.
100 years, not even 100 years ago, just 80 years ago, 90 years ago.
Dude, I had these coworkers from Sudan, and they had braved all odds to come here. You know, it's like the Francis Ngannou story. Mm-hmm. You know, just bullshit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's like they were so placid. It almost rubbed you the wrong way because nothing bothered them.
Yeah.
And I work, and they were hard workers and, you know, great people. And, you know, it was like they had been through so much. Like, they used to have to walk 3 miles one way to get water that was potable.
Yeah. Nice. Through back then.
It's like, we just turn on the tap.
Yeah.
Like, I put in a reverse osmosis system because I have an old house.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's how fucking spoiled you are. Like, I bought it off of Amazon, installed it myself, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's how spoiled you are. And it's like, no, we used to have to spend hours a day just so we didn't die of thirst. Still have to boil the water. It puts a different level of grit in you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you have to solve problems or you die. That's the stakes, you know? All right, I think it's time to take a break. When we come back, we will do our cigar news of the week.
Yep.
And then rank this. Drew Estate, Brothers of the Leaf, 2018 Lancero. Don't go away.
Miami edition is debuting next month. So we smoked which Trinidad?
We smoked the number 3.
Yeah, the number 3. So Altos USA will release the Trinidad in April, and it's going to be in one vitola, a 6 1/8 by 52 Bellicoso. It's going to be a Nicaraguan puro.
And it's called the Miami. Miami. Altitus USA, This is their American brand Trinidad, not to be confused with the Cuban Trinidad.
Correct.
And the Espiritu came out. It was a hit. They came out with the number 2 and then the number 3. Now they're coming out with the Espiritu Miami. Okay.
Which is funny because it's not even made in Miami.
I don't know. But, you know, Miami is a cigar city, so there's a lot of tributes to it.
Yeah, so AJ's wanting that, so that'll be cool. So you know it's going to be good. And then... maybe they should get sued. But Gurkha's going to be shipping their Year of the Snake.
Oh, now Gurkha's doing... okay.
Yeah. Maybe somebody should
sue reverse them. Lawsuit. Here it comes.
Yeah. So Casa Carrillo, Oscar Valadares, and Oliva, they're going to do the same thing they did with the Year of the Dragon, have different manufacturers produce them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Is it the same ones? No, it sounds different.
No, like I said, it's just Casa Carrillo, Oscar Valadares, and Oliva will be making them. So it's 3.
Instead of 5 or 6, like the Year of the Dragon. Okay. All right.
Yep. And then the CLE Maduro will be debuting.
Debut. There's no T. Debuting.
I don't know why I was having this.
Debuting.
I think I'm putting too much Spanish emphasis on my stuff today.
Plus, speaking like the French.
No, that's not obvious shit.
Debuting. Zip will be debuting.
Sir, blow your nose.
Gargling with gravel.
Yes. So. It's going to be debuting at PCA. So, it is going to be... it's going to have a Mexican San Andreas wrapper, pretty much Connecticut, Corojo, and Habano.
Interesting.
In the middle. It's going to have 5 vitolas. It's not going to be expensive. So, like, anywhere from $5 to $11, depending on the vitola.
Yeah, CLE is pretty approachable. And that's, of course, the Aroa family, you know, most famous for Camacho. What their big holding is their farm in Honduras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so another debut, because PCA is coming up in April, by the way, in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Your backyard. Mm-hmm. Old backyard. How do you say it?
Nolens. Yeah.
Because it's either New Orleans.
It's just Nolens.
Or New Orleans.
New Orleans.
I think I've always said it as New Orleans. So, anyway, Rocky Patel 30th anniversary is going to be debuting at PCA as well.
So, I guess this is the 30th anniversary of the Rocky Patel brand.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. When did he switch to Rocky? Was that 98?
I'm not sure.
2025, 1995, Something's off. Well, I guess if he starts with Indian tobacco.
Yeah.
I can't remember when he started.
Yeah, it was in the late 90s.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be...
What?
A new release.
I have some Indian tobacco from 1998, so you can switch to Rocky after that.
All right.
Verified in the house.
All right. So if that didn't get picked up on the mic, Tom says he's got some 1998 Indian tobaccos. So Rocky switched after that at some point.
Yeah.
So yeah, the 30th anniversary must be from going all the way back to Indian tobacco because that was less than 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the 60th was for his 60th birthday.
Yeah.
So the 30th has to be for. Hopefully, maybe it's something like we're not even guessing.
Yeah.
Like it's the 30th anniversary of I don't know, his nephew, who knows, cousin.
Yeah, so actually, yeah, in 1995. He's from when he started, 1995.
Yes, that's 30 years ago. I'm glad you could figure that math out.
So, it's going to be over a Mexican San Andreas wrapper, over two binders from Nicaragua, and fillers from Honduras and Nicaragua. So, unspecified, you know, those specific tobaccos, but yeah. San Andreas wrapper.
Yeah, there's been more and more, it seems to be more and more double binders recently. I'm not sure. I guess it's just for flavor. I don't know if they're doing that. That seems to be a, I don't know if it's a gimmick or not, but it's more popular recently.
All right, and then Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust adding Mi Querida Gorilla Gordo at PCA.
So I like the Mi Querida, but
never had it, unfortunately.
The Gorilla is going to be what, I guess a giant fucking stick.
Remember he said he was going big?
Yeah.
So 6x60.
Right up your alley.
Yes, sir. So that'll be fun.
I'll get a regular Mi Querida and we'll just smoke them side by side.
All right, we can do that.
Is the blend the same, I guess? It's just
it's just bigger. Yeah. Because he said he wanted to go bigger, so I guess this is his intro. Yeah. But it's like...
It sounds like something Sokka would do. Like, fine, I'll make a fucking gorilla.
All right, and then, last but not least, La Galera adding Rough Rider Candela Senoritas.
Ooh, okay.
So they're going to be, obviously, Candelas.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, there is that weird group of cigar smokers out there that are all about the Candela, so...
So it's going to be a Dominican Candela over a Mexican binder and Cameron and Dominican Criollo 98. So, and Piloto Cubano Fuller. So there's that whole mouthful. Is it really that, you know, you take the seed, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. The usual.
Spicy salad.
Yeah. And, like, Candela's already rough as it is to smoke. For me, personally,
you got to be careful with the harsh on them, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you smoke them too fast, they get...
Like, the Green Line was great. That's probably one of the best Candelas I've ever smoked.
Yeah. I like the Fuente Candela.
Do you?
Yeah. I just smoked one last week.
It was too bitter. Maybe because I smoked out of... Did you age yours?
No. Well, yeah. I mean, yes. It was aged. All right.
So that's our news.
Thank you for the news of the week. I think it is time to go ahead and rank this cigar. And we are here at Tobacco on Main Street. Smoking the Drew Estate Brothers of the Leaf 2018 Lancero, and this is one of several well-aged selections that you can get from the special cabinet here at Tobacco on Main Street. And I guess starting with presentation, this is a very, hard to rank presentation because it is Brothers of the Leaf.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it has its own branding, it's special, unique, blah, blah, blah. What I like is the brown and the colors, they match the rustic approach. I'd give them a solid 7 on presentation.
It's kind of straight to the point, though.
It's straight to the point. I like that. I think if they tried to put something flowery and, like, you know, fancy on this, it really clashed. So I'll give them a solid 7. And then moving on to construction, so we haven't had any issues... Uh-huh. No issues with draw, you know, no issues with relights and weird burning, which is great.
I mean, so Lancero, you can't really have any issues with them.
Bam. That, comes off perfectly.
Was that Lancero we smoked? Mine was fucked.
Yeah, we've had them in the past. Well, Lanceros are hard to get to burn right. Anyway, the short version is I can't think of anything to take points off for.
I want
to
give it a 10.
I think we got to give it a 10.
Oh, and by the way, fucking fruit packer. Like, come on.
Yeah. They know how to put their band on. All right, price. So, price is hard to gauge because you got to find them where you can find them.
Right.
I think the the factor we have to take into account with this is just availability, right, and desire. So the question would be, you know, the way that I would rank price on this one is, did they sell out?
Yeah.
If they did, they probably priced it too low. If they couldn't sell any of them, they probably priced it too high. And, man, they sold all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to think the price is reasonably competitive.
Yeah.
So I've kind of got a 7 there, and I'm just shooting from
7,
the hip.
Yeah. Because,
you know, you can't walk in and find this.
And this was private collection.
Yeah, yeah. So I think a 7 is fair. Right? It's in between average and great. And that brings us to flavor. So we've talked a lot about flavor. You're in your final third. I'm not quite there yet. I'll say if you like spicy, you're going to love this cigar. If you like grilled meat, you're going to love this cigar. If you like chocolate, you're going to like this cigar. Interesting flavors to kind of put together, and it totally fucking works, which is so weird about it. I know a lot of folks, you know, just aren't going to like this cigar because it's strong and heavy, and it's like a full dinner course. So, you know, we're in the subjective part, but this is one of those, I think if you're a sophisticated or experienced cigar smoker, you can't not try it.
Right.
You have the ability to. So what do you have for flavor?
For me, like I said, it was just a test a lot. For me, it was a 10. So it wasn't quite the experience and just the memory it brought. I was like, yeah, this is a 10.
I had an 8, so why don't we split the difference and do a 9
okay. On
that one? And of course, you know, caveat emptor.
Mm-hmm.
We are smoking carefully, intentionally aged 7-year-old cigars. I'm sure brand new they were different. But there are no brand new ones anymore.
Mm.
So that brings us to experience. And, you know, I can say you're probably not actually smoking this on the gunwale of a riverboat because it'll go out. It's Lancero. You know, too expensive for, you know, bullshit tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it, like, you probably don't want to exercise. This will knock you on your ass.
Yes, it will.
It's pretty strong. But this has, like, this really special place where you can share this with somebody like you, like we both like cigars,
mm-hmm.
have an awesome time. It's not, hey, congratulations, you got married, or congrats on your promotion.
Yeah.
But it is definitely a share with another person or gift to a cigar lover.
Yeah.
Type of experience, you know. So, limited experience, but in that limited niche, extremely enjoyable. And I think this is a cigar aficionado's cigar. So, what are you thinking for experience?
Just because of how special, man, like an actual, this one's going to be a tough one, but for me, it's like a 9, personally. Like I said, we're in the right environment, the right person to smoke it with. So, yeah, it's a 9.
Yeah, I think I was going to go 8. So, 8 or 9 on experience. If
mm-hmm.
you're the, you know, the right cigar person, I think this is a, can't pass it up.
Right.
Type of opportunity. And so that brings the final score for this Drew Estate Brothers of the Leaf 2018 Lancero 242.
Nice.
Very high scoring stick for us. And they are available, at least for now, on the shelf at Tobacco on Main Street. So head on down here and grab you one. Worth a road trip if you're looking for something special. And while you're at it, you might just rummage around that rare age selection
mm-hmm.
in the humidor and see what else you can come up with. What have we got coming up on the show? We've got some releases coming out for CLE, so we're probably going to try to get our hands on some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As we roll into the summer, we're probably going to start to see if tariffs or whatever happen
and
how they affect what we're doing. So we'll keep our ear to the ground for you guys. And as always, thank you for joining us on Burnline Podcast. Keep it smoking, my friends.